Haley with us this morning. Haley Barnes from the Oklahoma State University Extension Office in Ottawa County. Good morning, Haley.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for being back.
So what should we be thinking about now? What should producers be thinking about like today?
Absolutely. So like right now, our main concern is going to be just making sure that our soil health is fine. Right now, the drought, like you mentioned, is pretty influential in what farmers and producers are wanting to kind of think of going into the future of planting. And so a big thing right now is a lot of them are starting to think about planting wheat. But the biggest obstacle could be that the ground's too hot or dry to really go in and plant that. And so what are their next steps going to be? Should they wait? Should they think about something else? Things of that nature. But fall planting is going to be something that you really want to plan out about a year ahead of time. And of course, environmental factors like drought, sure. You know, having a backup plan for that.
Well, you mentioned hot and dry. Like today's morning temperature is like it's the first full day of fall. You know, is this kind of getting back into the mindset? But then again, I look at the, you know, future forecast, and we're going to be back up in the 90s this weekend.
And that's the catcher is like, you know, today it feels great. I walked out my front yard and felt, you know, heard the leaves crunching and I was like, oh, pumpkin spice, like I'm in the mood. But that's not necessarily the case. Like you said, the weather could be different. You know, we had a forecast, the Oklahoma Mesonet said that this week was going to be pretty hot. Well, then they came in and said, hey, starting Thursday, we're going to have cooler weather. They've predicted us to have a pretty dry, snowy winter. So that's something for them to also kind of keep in mind is just making sure you're paying attention to your longer-termed forecast and kind of adapting to that.
Well, you mentioned snow. Snow can actually be kind of a good thing, right? Because it can kind of melt and like kind of more slowly water that ground versus like a 5 inches of rain.
Kind of. So more what we're worried about with the snow would be just your crop damage as far as just getting too cold and not being able to produce. You know, plants, they're kind of particular on their temperatures. And so that would be the biggest thing with snow is just freezing your plants. But hopefully when that starts to melt, then, yeah, we'd get some plants watered and maybe that'll kind of give it a reset. But not always just a guarantee there, unfortunately.
And Haley, I understand it depends on what you're planning to grow.
Absolutely.
As to when is your time to plant.
Absolutely. So you're definitely going to want to make sure that you understand what you're growing and kind of its time frame. So making sure that, you know, a lot of your farmers, they understand, you know, when are weeds coming in and things like that. But maybe you're home gardening or you have container gardening. And so just making sure you're reading those labels and making sure you understand, you know, what zone you're in, what your climate and weathers are like, and kind of how to go about planting those plants in that aspect.
And I know there's lots of people out there that are small crop planters, even if it's somebody who just has a 12 by 12 foot square in their backyard.
Yeah.
So if they're listening, they should understand that this is relevant to them too.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're doing any kind of gardening, planting, making sure you understand what soil you're working with, what plants you're planning to plant. That's going to be the biggest thing as far as getting ahead and being more intentional with your gardening and farming and just making sure that you're fully aware of the different environmental outcomes that could come out or, you know, just having a plan for any which direction is definitely encouraged.
Haley, is it possible that seeds can be out of date?
Yes. So yeah. I bought some seeds from a garage sale one time. And
you learned your lesson, didn't
I learned you? My lesson. And I thought, oh, it's seeds. They've been dry. It's fine. Seeds don't actually really go out of date. And I'm sure there's probably a fact sheet of Oklahoma State. I'm not going to hold this as facts, but just our own personal experience. And so I thought, oh, man, I just hit the jackpot, 50 cents for this entire box. Worst 50 cents spent.
Isn't that, got what you paid for,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes, I did. And so I was like, me and my daughter were planting, and I'm like, I'm so excited. I was, you know, and then nothing ever grew. And I was like, maybe it's me. I don't know.
So our seed and supply vendors out there, they understand this, and they're not going to put anything on the shelf that is out of date.
Correct. Yeah. You know, they put an expiration date on things for a reason. And, you know, I mean, even water, even though, you know, that's something that never really expires. But it's something to kind of keep in the back of your mind that, hey, it's probably going to be more opt to grow in this time frame that they've supplied on the packaging. And of course, your farmers, they go to a bigger, you know, seed rep for that. And of course, we don't want anyone having bad seeds, so nobody's going to sell you a bad seed. If they do, I'm sure it was by accident, or if you're like me and you went to a garage sale, then take your chances there.
Well, I know there's a lot more to talk about with seeds, and also plants, whether they're indoor or outdoor, you need to move them around depending on the season that you're in. And then there's a lot more to talk about with just containers in the area where you're planting. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to that when we come back from this next break. Again, Haley Barnes with us from the Oklahoma State University Extension Center in Ottawa County. Shannon and I will be right back after this break on Four States Live. Good morning and welcome back to Four States Live, your voice of the Four States community. I'm Kevin Seidenstricker along with Shannon Bruffett here on Agribusiness Thursday. We're really happy to have Haley Barnes back with us. Welcome back again, Haley. We were talking about planting and seeds and good times to plant and seed viability and things like that. And we have some more details to get into that. And whether you're a large acreage farmer or you just have a little plot in your backyard, sometimes there's people who do both even. This is all relevant to you listeners in the Four States if you're doing any kind of planting and seeding, seed laying. But before we get back to that, Haley, we were talking before we came on about a Master Cattleman's class that OSU is putting on.
Yeah, so OSU Extension offers a program called Master Cattleman, and so each county has the opportunity to host a class. And so Ottawa County, Craig County, and Delaware County are teaming up, and we're going to put on a Master Cattleman class starting November 7th, and it's going to go all the way through March, which seems like a pretty long time, but it's once a week. It's an evening class from 6:30 to 9 o'clock p.m., and we're going to cover everything from cattle nutrition, reproduction, the finance and economics of cattle production, and just go over, you know, how to AI, just future relevant topics, everything A to Z with cattle production. And so the goal is, you know, you pay $150 to attend the class, but you'll get a cattleman's manual to keep. And then you also get a nice little OSU Master Cattleman sign with your cattle production's name on it. And you get to hang that up at your facilities. And we do an awards ceremony and all that fun stuff. So
that's only $150 for a class that begins November 7th through March, once a week. Mm-hmm. 2.5 hours a night, only $150. That sounds like a great value to me. Who can enroll in this?
Anyone can enroll. Anyone that has an interest in cattle production, we're actually doing a nice little sale. So if maybe there's two people in your production, so like a husband or wife or siblings or somebody, will discount your price. So we'll basically allow two people to attend for the same price. You guys would just have to share manuals. The only catch, you can't do two books. But it does kind of discount that price for you guys. But yeah, anybody that wants to join can join. And so they just need to call the Ottawa County Extension office and we'll get them signed up.
Now, this seems like it's something more geared towards beginners, but can seasoned ranchers get something out of this?
Absolutely. I definitely recommend that seasoned ranchers do look into this because, you know, science is ever changing and Oklahoma State research is proving new innovative ways in cattle production. And so we're going to cover those topics and make sure that these producers are getting the most accurate, up-to-date practices.
And Haley, you told us that registration is open now, but when is that cut off?
Technically, really, the cutoff is just the first day of class. So you have up until November 7th to enroll and just call our office, say, hey, it's something that I'm interested in. We'll sign you down, and then you can just pay your registration fee when you show up to class.
And what's that phone number?
It's 918-542-1688.
Okay, and one more time for somebody who wants to write it down.
918-542-1688.
And what about a website?
A website, they can just visit the Ottawa County OSU Extension page. Just type in Ottawa County Extension or even OSU Extension, and you can find our county office from that link, too.
That's great. Anybody in the four states can sign up for this and enroll in it. You don't have to be a resident of any of those counties, and that's a great deal.
Absolutely.
Well, let's switch gears and go back to our previous topic. And what you and I were talking about during the break is the fall planting and container planting. You know, it has been popular. I mean, you don't have to have acreage to have that farm. But what about container planting? Because I'll buy that container. Does it matter what kind of soil I put in it?
So the thing with container planting, if many of you guys are like me, I see a cute flower at Lowe's or Walmart and I'm like, I've got to have it. And so I buy it. The biggest thing that I would recommend doing that is, you know, just the kind of steps I would take is, you know, remove that plant from the container, have a larger pot that you're wanting to put it in, get some potting soil, or if you're going to put it directly into the ground, get your space prepped that way. Try what I recommend, and it's kind of a new practice that's kind of upcoming, is washing your plants first. So taking like a wheelbarrow for say, and just kind of soaking your plant in that for a little bit, and then trying to get rid of the media. So the soil that came with the plant, that's going to kind of wash it away of any kind of bacteria. It's going to wash any kind of contaminants that could be in that. And then it's also going to allow you to kind of break those fibrous roots apart a little bit and kind of see where the main roots are and those woody roots. A lot of times being in those containers, they can start to curl, which could determine how well that plant's going to grow. If those roots are curled, they could just wrap up in itself and graft together and die. And so making sure you train the roots to go straight, not so much an issue with fibrous roots, but when you get to those woody, thicker roots, make sure you cut those and make sure they're going in a straight direction before you put them in your pot or the ground. That's a big key piece. And then just making sure that you're digging your hole or your pot that is no deeper than the root mass and at least as wide as the root mass. So making sure that plant has plenty of room to grow and extend those roots. It should be, the hole should kind of be wide and shallow is kind of what you're going for, because okay, roots go out, not down most of the time. And then just making sure that you, if you put your plant in the pot or in the ground and you cover it back up with soil, making sure there's no air pockets. By that, I just mean some gaps in the soil and making sure everything is covered. And then you're going to want to water generously, make sure that all those roots are saturated and that they can receive as much moisture as possible to kind of take off. And then, like we mentioned, fall, it's starting to cool down a little bit. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we keep this weather up. But with that, you're going to want to apply some mulch. And what this mulch is going to do is, one, it's going to kind of allow for some organic matter to kind of be incorporated into the soil, which is super important for plant growth. But it's also going to kind of keep that ground warm. And it's going to kind of protect the plant roots from the frigid temperatures that we could experience.
Well, and speaking of those, the temperatures and that sort of a thing, some of those folks, the containers might be small enough to bring indoors, but we need to be, I've grown plants, you know, some herbs inside, and I get those stupid little gnat bugs. Yes. Are there things like we need to be aware of before we haul those plants inside?
Yeah, I definitely recommend that if you're wanting to move plants from outdoors to indoors, don't do it just immediately. It can send the plant into stress. And so definitely over the course of a few weeks, slowly move your plants to shaded areas, move them back in the sunlight. And then after about a week of that, you can move them indoors for a few days and move them back outside. Just kind of like you would do with a newborn infant. If you're switching formulas, you want to transition them.
I was going to say, do you leave them out in the shade? Or you leave? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. Do we bring them inside or not? But yeah, just kind of slowly transition them. And then the biggest thing I can say is if you're moving plants from outdoors to indoors, check for pests and any kind of diseases that could be, like ants. Make sure your plant doesn't have ants so you don't track it inside, things like that. Now, like you were mentioning, you had started seeds inside and they were never outside and you still got those pests. And I think it's important, again, to understand what you're growing and the different scents that they can put off and what they attract. And so that comes with a lot of things, too, is just making sure that, you know, if you do have those gnats, to kind of, what is it that I'm growing? Is it something that could grow potentially, you know?
Well, apparently the little gnatty bugs like basil and catnip. I'll tell you that much. Personal experience.
Hey, I had a question earlier when you were talking about potting plants. And it's that I've seen some people, you know, they do get their roots nice and straight and they make sure the pot is the right depth and everything. But then when they start putting in the Miracle-Gro soil or topsoil, whatever, the last thing they do is they start packing it around the roots. Is that a good practice?
I definitely don't recommend compaction. That's going to allow that soil to kind of get stiff and thick and dense, and those roots are not going to be able to grow through that and push through. So definitely allow gravity to do its own work. Just lightly fluff your soil around your plants and just kind of let gravity take its you know, natural state. And then if you need to add more soil on top, then absolutely go back through and add more additional soil if needed. But compaction is going to be not a great practice when planting in general.
Gotcha. And is there a specific or a better type of mulch that you would prescribe?
We typically prescribe arborist mulch, which is just basically any kind of mulch you can go to Lowe's and get. There's not just a specific. Now, again, do your plant research and see what your plant would grow best in. A lot of times if you call an arborist, they'll be more than happy to help you and identify which mulch you should use. But just kind of do your own research, see what plants grow best in mulch and, you know, if there is a specific but I don't believe there's just one out there that's just the top of the notch, unless, I mean, an arborist might know, but
gotcha.
So,
well, we do know an arborist. We'll have to
call her. I was thinking the same thing.
We'll have to give her a call.
Sure was.
So are there great plants that we can be looking at for right now that will do well inside, you know, that have maybe been started outside?
Yeah, absolutely. So Oklahoma State University has an awesome fact sheet over fall gardening, and so you guys can always check that out at our website. But some great things to be planting right now if you're doing a garden at home or if you're wanting to do some container gardening inside, or even if you are just a large-scale producer, some beans are good right now, winter wheat, winter squash, pumpkin, peppers, eggplants, tomatoes, sweet corn. We're doing some cucumbers even. As long as you're planting those before the frost, that's the big thing, is gotcha. Before the frost.
And you who knows also, when that's coming at this point?
Well, yeah, we can. Yeah, and a lot of people are going to be really just kind of collecting those right now. Mm-hmm. But we also can discuss some different things like beets and broccoli, carrots, garlic, kale, turnips, stuff like that too, is some other great options to be planting.
Right now or in the near future?
Both. Okay. Some of them can be grown in, I know we're beginning of September right now, and a lot of them are even going into October. Radishes, you can plant up until they recommend about August or October 10th. So a little bit bigger window there. But like I said, Oklahoma State University has a great fact sheet. If you just type in fall gardening, it gives you a big list of varieties that you can be planting. And so it's really helpful. It's been helpful to me on planting my garden. And so I think it would be beneficial for others too to kind of check out and see what they should be growing right now.
Cool.
So how can we find you? Do we just like Google it, or how do we find that fact sheet?
Yeah. So if you just Google Oklahoma State University Extension, it'll take you straight to our statewide homepage, and there's a search bar and you'll have access to everything. Any kind of research that Oklahoma State's done, whether it is agriculture related or not agriculturally related, you'll have the opportunity to look at that research and firsthand. This the fact sheet that I really like to go to is with fall gardening is titled HLA, and then it's 6009. It's a lot of letters and numbers.
Yeah.
But
fall gardening, I can remember that.
I was gonna say, just type in fall gardening. It seems kind of unprofessional to just say, hey, Google this, but that's how simple it is. It's just to Google Oklahoma State University Extension, fall gardening, and it'll be one of the first ones that come up.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. You and I have a lot more to discuss as my black thumb continues. Like I said, I try each and every year. Do I get some years I produce, some years I don't?
And a lot of that comes down to the variety. I know we discussed that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I read an article here a while back, and it discussed, you know, different varieties and they, you know, which ones they advertise throughout the year and kind of your chances with that. And so, yeah, there's a lot of things that can go into it. And to just say this is what the problem is kind of difficult to say. But you and I both have a black thumb. I'm not sure I'm supposed to admit that on the radio. But
We like honesty on this show. Well, Haley Barnes with the Oklahoma OSU Extension Office based out of Ottawa County, thank you so much for your time and making the trip in to join us.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
We've got more coming up on the show.
Yes, we do. Officer Patrolman from the Missouri Highway Patrol, Sam Carpenter, is going to be with us talking about safety. Again, this is National Farm Safety and Health Week, so we're going to hit on some things that are agriculture-related there, again, on this Agribusiness Thursday.
So stay with us. Don't go anywhere.